The following media was brought to you by Tome of Huzzah!
I was in Basel looking at stars. I was in Malmö looking at cars. All the good things, all the bad things in harmony. Say that trip was cool, I had some fun in my hotel room, but felt alone in Liverpool. I miss us when I'm drinking in my flat all alone. I miss us when I'm in my bed and scrolling my phone. I miss us and the things we love to do the most. I wish I never let you go.
Episode 110, Hong Kong, Hong Kong, Globally Local, FM.
Woo!
Was that One Direction?
No, that was that was Coria, Tommy Cash, and Joost Klein.
Oh, that's the song,
right? Yeah,
you singing without us hearing this. Yes. Yeah.
I've
Henry, you should see the video.
Before.
It's iconic.
Wait, I'll send it in chat.
Sounds good.
Yeah, Joost Klein right. At it again.
We're in the Hong Kongs of
Welcome
it all.
Welcome to your Hopper Junge.
Sounds. Yes, it looks like a great
in Europe.
Great thumbnail.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I hate Tommy Cash's mustache. That shit is so terrible, man. I hate it. Did you guys watch Eurovision this year?
No.
No?
No, wow. Because, well, first of all, a lot of countries, the ones that are usually are like, would come with the heat, did not participate. You know why? Because Israel participated. Israel did not win, right. But Israel came second anyways. What else happened? Oh yeah, I think Bulgaria won, right?
Yeah.
I have a Bulgarian friend who was like, yeah, we won. And I was like, aren't you happy? And she was like, I think he's gonna bankrupt the country for next year.
Yeah, probably.
Because they have to build the infrastructure.
Well, I mean, I remember like years ago hearing that like countries don't want to host Eurovision because of how expensive it is.
I mean, it's the same with all these events, like same as like with Olympic Games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody wants what happened to Greece.
No, but yeah. I will say, like, it's kind of sad that Bulgaria won the one Eurovision that the least people cared about.
Yeah. Because Bulgaria has not won much, right? If ever.
No. I don't think so.
Bulgaria is just a country of losers, generally. All right, moving on. No, I take that back, friend.
Out the front with it.
Anyways, let's go for a swim from Bulgaria to Hong Kong.
Hong Kong?
Yeah. All right.
How about you guys? What do you think of thongs?
Tongs?
Tongs?
I'm not kinky like that, I'll be honest.
Tongs or thongs?
Like the underwear, thong.
Oh, thongs.
Well, did you know?
I hear tongs.
No!
I thought you were saying tongs as well, so I was like, this is going to go to barbecue tong.
Okay, now the kinky comment actually made sense, which makes it worse.
I assumed you answered the question.
Did you know that in Australia, thongs means flip-flops?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that, no.
Check out my thong.
So, hell yeah. I guess they're fine. I don't have an opinion. People need underwear.
I just recently realized I might have a thing for jock straps. Not me wearing, but like seeing them on men. I don't know, something about it. It's the same thing as I talked about. Guys, like a naked person is less, how do I say this, like sexual than a person with a very little on.
Right. Like, Rudy, I've never heard you talk this much about these sorts of topics than today's recording. I'll be honest.
Miss us.
I'll be honest, the perpetual wedgie does not really interest me.
But a jockstrap doesn't have a perpetual wedgie.
No, but thongs do.
Yeah, I feel thongs like that just wouldn't be nice.
Yeah. I just now remember. I have a story actually somewhat related to this topic. Me and my very, 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 very good Italian friend, the one I call Nuisance, the one who also has no filter going from brain to mouth, we were on a beach and how this is, like on a beach in Italy, they kind of mix and match. There's a lot of people just walk around naked. You know, that's just how it is there. Usually I've noticed older people. Point being, how, like, I don't want to sound like that kind of guy, as in like objectify anyone, but you know, there's some swimwear where you're like, yeah, you put that on to look like, I don't know, like a fuckboy or something like that, you know, like there's like you,
like
for example, for guys, like, yeah, but a Speedo with some patterns like a fucking leopard pattern or something like that. I'm like, you know, we all know what you're here for. Like,
yeah, sure.
This particular case, what happened is we're walking to the beach. We're talking between each other. A lady walks past. Very, very, how do I say it? It's like good physique overall. Very beautiful girl. And she's wearing, when I tell you, for like strings for a bikini. Like genuinely at that point, like basically naked, right? My dear friend looks to me. He's like, why is this legal? Like, why do we allow this? I'm like, what do you mean? Look at her. It looks like she, like her underwear was eaten by her ass. It's just so like, it just took me off guard so much in that moment. Because I was like, oh no, he's about to, you know, I don't know, like objectify women or something like that. No, he just has an opinion of how shit that bikini apparently looks like.
T, love that.
I, God bless his soul.
Alright. Well, in a direct transition to that, let's have a quick chat about Hong Kong fun facts.
Hell yeah. Let's go.
Alright. Well, people,
Ding Hong dong, Kong... Hong Kong!
Okay. Is Hong Kong is technically part of China. That's right, people. I said it. Rudy was begging me not to say it.
Gulp.
Alright, with it. Hong Kong is technically part of China. But does maintain a separate government, of course, as you will know, and separate laws. The main language spoken is Chinese and English. Apparently, there is no official definition of which version of Chinese, but the local language is Cantonese, as everyone knows. The city has 7.5 million residents, which actually I thought was lower than expected. I thought they would have
7.5 million. That is lower than expected, yeah.
So maybe they're falling off, I guess. Potentially. Who knows? They built a big-ass bridge from Hong Kong to Macau. a neighboring autonomous region, which is 55 kilometers long and also consists of a few tunnels and artificial islands. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Because Macau was Portuguese, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Macau, for those, did we have an episode of Macau before? Because I could have sworn yes.
But I feel like it. It feels like it, probably.
Yeah, so this might be rehashing info, but Macau is basically like sort of a Las Vegas to China. It's sort of like an autonomous region where gambling is allowed / encouraged. So a lot of those sorts of trips go there. And then last one. Did you know the name Hong Kong means fragrant harbor? Likely named for spice trade. Also, there were also some other possibilities, like that a local river was named that. But I think it was specifically related to trade. Yeah.
If I remember right, Hong Kong was also a pretty big hub for the opium wars.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you think that's why it was fragrant? People just high off their balls being like, yo, this sewage kind of smells nice, though.
Have you seen the Kurt Gazak, like, Dark History channel? They made a video about Opium Wars.
Oh, no. I have not.
You should see it. It's pretty good.
Will do.
Thank you, Rudy. No, that's it
as
for the
always
fun
here. Advertising for Kurt Gazak in a nutshell.
Hell yeah. Thank you, Germany.
Yeah,
which is decidedly not.
I don't know what's going on today. This feels so, this recording session just has something that just doesn't sit right with me.
You sit, I sit upright and well, okay? You're not gonna tell me how to fucking sit. And in fact, what I'm gonna do is, I'm gonna go to the news.
All right.
Got the Grudy's off his rocker today.
For my news article, get out and on the streets, because this child is out to get you.
Well?
Yumi Lee, a former and current child at just 7 years old, is out on the streets taking pictures of strangers. She picked up the hobby of street... She picked up...
You could hear the give it...
She picked up the... She picked...
Yeah, we can do it.
To make that even funnier.
Sound it out.
She picks up the hobby of street photography.
Hell yeah.
Capturing a bunch of smiles all around, this 120-centimeter ankle biter is gaining fame on the streets of Hong Kong.
Ankle biter?
Yeah, and but the thing is, like, keep in mind that this whole thing was born because of her mother's desire to make her less timid, and apparently it worked, but also through some more digging that I did, some more on-the-ground research, it only works for children, because when I went out as an early-to-mid 20-year-old, the smiles was not what I got. All I got was calls to the police.
So what?
She
does,
just goes around and like
take
pictures.
Yeah.
And people call the police for that?
Huh?
People call the police for that?
No, when I do it, they do.
Joke.
Oh, sorry, that completely flew over my head.
Something doesn't sit right with me.
Fucking arrest the 7-year-old.
But so she just walks in people's houses and takes pictures? Like, what did she do?
Hey, I mean, I don't know. She just kind of...
Imagine, literally like a fucking FBI spy. You just see this like little guy like just standing on the street and just like... And runs away.
Just walks in.
Well, you know, sometimes you gotta do a little bit of...
Just waved the camera, throw the peace sign, and just took a picture.
Yes.
Sometimes you got to do a little bit of break and entering for your hobby, and I think that should be allowed.
I mean, as a child, I feel like you just have to ring the doorbell. People will be like, oh, what you doing? Zap!
It kind of reminds me of the fucking Zootopia scene in the beginning, you know, with the, what is it, the Fennec Fox?
Oh, yeah.
With ice cream, yeah. I think we can have someone cosplay as a child. Like, I think we have some pretty short friends. And then we can send them and then get... I don't know where I was going with this.
Yeah,
you lost us when you started cosplaying as a child.
Because in my mind, I was still thinking about Zootopia.
So you're not into thongs, but you're into pacifiers.
No.
Ooh.
I know someone else. I'm not going to make that joke, actually.
I'm going to pacify you if that's the case. Oh! All right,
well, let's move on. I've got a nice article for you, and actually, believe it or not, it's also photography related.
Oh!
This shit is bussin', is my title that I came up with. Local enthusiasts in hot water for taking illegal pictures.
Oh!
Local bus enthusiasts are in trouble for risky behavior in pursuit of taking images of buses.
Wait, fuck, was this me when we established the bus station in Hong Kong?
Yeah.
So, Hong Kong's double-decker buses are known as a bit of a local staple. Two people got injured trying to take pictures of buses in May by jumping into traffic. So, as you do. And thus, as a result, lawmakers have suggested increasing fines or, like, punishments for breaking traffic rules or impeding traffic in relation to specifically these sorts of activities.
Oh no, the bus broke your legs. 5,000 euros.
I have a better punishment, I'll be honest.
Yeah?
I think rather than punishing the people who are out on the streets taking photos, just remove the punishment from drivers who hit them.
So
you can just run them over, they're like, yeah,
so
but it was a
photographer,
though.
Instead of punishing the people, you punish the streets.
Yes. Spit
well, I don't know. I feel like that would leave you with some sort of trauma if you just start willingly run over people.
Bro, That what it would do, it would clear up traffic for buses, and then your buses would be on time, and you get everywhere you want on time, because people, hell no, they're not gonna step on a bus lane anymore.
You know, the thing is, if we kind of put the two stories together, yeah, technically we are advocating running over children with cars.
And what's wrong with that?
I just wanted to put it out there.
8 billion people in the world, and they keep whining that we don't have enough space and food and water and anything anymore. We gotta start somewhere. It's either the old or the young. Because I'm still in the age where I'm useful to society.
Right. Mm. And you think killing the young is gonna help us in the long term? Is what you're saying?
Listen, if a young comes up to me on the street and takes unsolicited pictures of me, then it's up for probation.
Okay. I see.
All right. And then one wrinkle that I thought was interesting in this article, bus drivers are, so in the realm of what you were saying, Sid, bus drivers are apparently also capable, they're allowed to like do a citizen's arrest on someone that they deem as impeding their service, right? So they can arrest them and then wait for police to come
bus,
by.
Bus drivers.
Exactly. But here's what I thought. Like, this question came to mind, right? So you're looking to increase punishments for people impeding bus services. But so if the bus driver does a citizen's arrest, there is no driver in, you know, therefore he's impeding his own service. So should he be arrested
as well?
The bus
keeps going and the driver just steps out, runs, beats up this person, arrests them, and runs after the bus?
No, so what I'm saying is he's arresting someone and has to wait for the police to pick him up. So in doing so, he's not driving the bus and thus impeding the service.
I think maybe I know what's happening.
Maybe he's driving the arrested person to the police station.
Are you going off route?
I have.
What if the route is designed for them to at least at some point stop at the police station?
I have a more interesting proposition. Just like arrest them, put them in the bus, and then don't open the door again.
Just drive around forever until everyone in the bus dies.
Until the police show up. But the issue is you're driving and they're chasing you.
That's actually pretty smart. You just have a small jail cell in the back. You just stuff them in there. And then once the police show up, they can transport them out. And
there you go.
Business as usual.
It's like the bike racks on buses that are there every now and then. Except it's just, a little cage in the back for prisoners. For street photographers specifically.
And it's transparent. You just see people in there.
Beat up, bruised, bloody.
Every turn the bus takes, and we know those double-deckers are not taking very smooth turns, just from side to side. All right, mine article, I said fuck you all for articles. I have a rabbit hole for Hong Kong that I want to go into. I know Sid knows about this, because I've talked about this at length. Henry, have you heard about Kowloon Walled City?
Yes, Kowloon City, let's go.
You have. What do you know about it?
Its name is Kowloon, it has walls, and it's a city. I know it was a very dense sort of living situation.
The most dense.
Most dense, yes. Pretty poor people,
Ish.
Poorly maintained,
Those who don't know.
I know it from a Call of Duty map, that's the first time I heard about it.
Yeah, that is a reference that people might get. But Kowloon Walled City was, it's demolished now, was a phenomena which, guys, if you like this dystopian cyberpunk vibe of city that spans, like, where you, like, look up and you don't see how far up it goes, you look down, you don't see how far, like, down it goes, and there's just buildings and buildings and buildings, people crammed in there, that's Kowloon Walled City. Look this up. That's most of that inspiration for those kind of environments in video games, movies, what have you, comes from this specific place. Kowloon Walled City was located in Kowloon City, Hong Kong, and it spans just 6.4 acres. That is not a lot of land for a city block, let's put it that way. But at its peak, it was estimated to have 50,000 residents, giving it a population density almost 120 times greater than New York City. So in 6.4 acres, there were 50,000 residents, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah.
As the city's population grew, people kept building on top of existing structures. The city eventually had like 300 interconnected high-rise buildings that had been constructed room by room, without the help of architects or building code. It became so dense that sunlight couldn't reach the lower level. So it literally was, it used to be like normal high-rise buildings, and then room by room, disconnected sort of, people just kept building on top of and in between these buildings. And yeah, so one more thing that I read about, there's a lot to be said about Kowloon Walled City. First of all, the crime rate there was crazy. It was literally like a den for a lot of these like mafia type of things. But all the residents that were, so point being, 1973 to 74, police carried out over 3,500 raids in the Walled City and seized more than 4,000 pounds of drugs, slowly but surely cracking down finally. Because at its peak, police did not go in the Walled City, because originally there was a dispute between Hong Kong and I think historically this part, there was some connection to Japanese or something like that. So it was like left alone, like kind of, and then it kind of festered in its own thing. And then the police just like, nobody walked in without a group of men, essentially.
Mm.
But the people who did go to live there, even with all the gambling dens and all the crime dens and stuff like that, the people who were from there and who were later like sort of like moved by compensation when they were cracking down the city and demolishing it, because only like a small amount of people were forced to move out, like because they didn't want to move. But a lot of them had like compensation and were moved away. A lot of them remember Kowloon Walled City as a time of happiness, because the community there was very tight and they were all working. Because a lot of architects and designers at the time of its deconstruction said that, say what you will about the illegal business in the city, the way they, as a community, without any proper education, architecture, design and stuff like that, came about to solve issues. It came about of just building structural like integrity, like on buildings on top of each other. It was something that they like, there was an idea, like some designers took inspiration and ideas from these makeshift solutions that they found. For example, for water. There was a thing where they didn't have enough water supply for everybody all the time. So people took turns and shift across the city of this block for now does not use water because it's not their shift, because they're saving it up for the rest of them. And then like they were just like going in shift. All the parks and all stuff like that were on top of this city because sunlight did not reach down. So all the recreational like areas that they themselves built were on top of the city. The lower regions though where they walked around with umbrellas because a lot of drainage and pipes and stuff like that were leaking down. So it was definitely like a city of dystopia.
Just some, walking around a street level and you just get sewer dropped on your head. That sounds disgusting.
Most buildings or most apartments did not have a window to begin with. They don't have, did not have fresh air vents. So they were lived on only at night. There were a lot of instances where, for example, school throughout the day was quickly refurbished in like a shift scenario for the night for it to become a gambling and then in a strip club.
We love multi-use spaces.
Yeah. Point being, there is crazy amount of weird stuff you can find about this Kowloon Walled City. Crazy phenomenon.
Yeah, because it was also entirely autonomous, wasn't it? So then you had like dentists and stuff without licenses completely operating in there with like a fucking wrench pulling out teeth.
For outsiders, for the society in Hong Kong, it looked like a chaos. But the more you research, the more you realize they had their own like way of living. It was a society that kind of without any governance, kind of did work. It was not good living conditions for most of them. But still, all of these people, like, there's a lot of people who remember this time of their life kindly. It was a society that kind of worked.
Okay, wait, here's a question to Henry, because I think Rudy just looked this up. Henry, you.
Me.
Yes, you. Do you know the official reason why it was demolished?
Well, I would guess it's in connection to all the crime and all that, and they said, let's bring her down.
That's not the official reason.
And build a new building on top of it. We want to build higher. Yeehaw.
Nah.
What was it?
You think more outside the city.
It looked ugly as fuck, and they were like sledgehammer.
It was it was because an airport was being constructed and it was too tall. Yeah. And that was the official reason. And they were like, I mean, hey, look at that. All this illegal shit is also being destroyed.
For the longest time, apparently that was the only law they kind of abided by from Hong Kong, the Kowloon Walled City, that they kept like building in this like any crevice that they could, because there is one law that they structurally actually did abide by, which was not built too high enough. And at some point, just couldn't do it anymore. Mm. Have you seen pictures of this, Henry? It literally is like, there's no...
Yeah, thing. I have. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I always, it's interesting, but it looks pretty horrible to live in. I would not want to be there. No, thank you, sir.
Yeah, no, me neither. I would not. I just find it fascinating. No,
ad?
Thank you for the rabbit hole.
Okay. Ad!
Let's get right into the ad.
Basking in the neon lights and saturated shadows of Hong Kong, where the walks fill you with warmth, only one man stands between the merchant and a deal on dumpling. Bitch, you lied about the free refills. Where are my free dumplings,
Oh, you dare challenge the TikTok Cantonese wok born out of wedlock on this block syndicate. My MSRP is unbeatable, my portion's magnanimous, and my soy sauce is endless. You have eaten 36 dumplings in the last 7 minutes. Sir, I think you will find it. You are the bitch.
You bastards, your all-you-can-eat is a lie. I've seen the fine print.
We are bastards. Then you know the true cost of a second helping.
All right, perfect, thanks. I'll take the check now. Cash or card?
Yeah, card works great, thanks.
Do you want to experience a fight like you've never seen before? Watch Hard Boiled at your local cinema. Do not partake in fighting, you will get your ass handed to you on a silver platter. Just go to a 7-Eleven and please, don't haggle there.
Ah yes, the unmistakable Hong Kong legacy of all kinds of...
90s action movies. Yeah, dude. Oh, excellent shot.
I do love honestly a dumpling.
They were all shot in Hong Kong at some point.
Hmm? I've been eating a lot of dumplings recently, friends. That's all I wanted to chip in with.
You said you were thinking of taking a trip to Hong Kong. I mean, hey, maybe this could be you eating 36 dumplings in 7 minutes.
Me?
Yes, you!
Hell yeah. All right.
Yeah. Actually, more of a rabbit hole. One of the Jackie Chan movies, apparently, there's an explosion in the background where like a huge building explodes. It's a practical effect. They blew up one of the buildings. It was at the time of the demolition of Kowloon City. So the building was supposed to be demolished anyway. So they shot the movie scene of actually that building.
Oh, that's insane. Pretty cool. That's cool.
What have we learned today, friends? Quiz time. What is the most common type of Chinese spoken in Hong Kong?
Cantonese.
Very good. What does the Kong in Hong Kong mean?
Harbor.
Sid, you are smart. That is correct.
Thank you.
What sort of bus was mentioned in my earlier article?
Double decker.
You guys are on fire today. And now, last one.
Yeah.
Last one. Right. For a trillion bonus points. It's not even a question, people. I know that Rudy had prepared a bit of a speech in Cantonese, and I would therefore like to invite him to the floor to speak now. Thank you, Rudy.
Henry, on all the unhinged things you put me on, this is a bit out there. I will not. You know what? I refuse to do that one bit. Because I don't know how to even start. Ni hao. Bing chili.
He still went for it. I mean, that's all you need to know, people. That's all you need to know.
It's like, can I just say, essentially what he did was like, yes, and now Rudy will be racist.
I said you were going to speak in Cantonese. That doesn't have to be racist. I thought you just prepared a little speech.
Henry, you have prepared a speech in Zimbabwean. Please,
I don't know
go
what
ahead.
That sounds like.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't know what it sounds like. How about you try?
I'm sorry, Rudy. I did not come prepared properly. I cannot honor the good people of Zimbabwe.
Yeah, look at this guy. I'm supposed to do this when he refused.
Look, I genuinely thought you had a speech written.
How about, you know, that's Christopher Nolan? You know Christopher Nolan, the movie director? His whole shtick apparently is, I will never ask an actor to do what I will not do myself. How about you employ that
in your
life? I just
don't live by those silly rules. I like to put you on the spot. And thus I shall continue.
He apparently said in an interview as well that he does not use like an email. So everything comes to him like written in fax or letters.
He has a pager.
It sounds like
that's
you just have an assistant.
What a book.
No, he has a pager, yeah.
Just like prints your emails out.
Yeah, he has a fucking assistant is what that sounds to me. Christopher Nolan, the movie blockbuster director, cannot be reached by email. I'm sorry. What?
Yeah, I don't believe that neither. All right, well, people, my local business recommendation, thank you for flasking, is to visit Victoria Peak. Because I think it's a pretty cool view, and it's a nice little nature walk in a big city.
Do you want creepy plastic dolls, shoes molded to the feet of another, or a calendar, but in Japanese? Or maybe a mildly used poster about the Savannah grasslands, but in Hindi? Well, a Japanese-originated antique store has it all. Visit Bunkaya Zakaten in Mongkok now.
Sounds pretty cool.
Oh, now you got my attention. I love how you looked in the camera for that one. I, of course, Kowloon's Walled City Park. Preserved in the park are some artifacts from the Walled City, such as remnants of the South Gate that acted as the city's main entrance. Also preserved there is the old administrative office that dates from the Qing Dynasty and was later used to house seniors. The park also has a museum in honor of the Walled City.
That's pretty cool. And my local radio recommendation is FM Below Ground, where, much like the name suggests, they were playing EDM the entire time I was listening, so...
You
if you
got
like
EDM?
To live your life as if you're constantly at a rave. Sorry?
You got EDM?
I got EDM when I was listening.
I got sweeping synths vague clanging, and I thought I accidentally tuned into an actual mining operation. And then a high voice started singing lovely melodies, and that's when it got confirmed the children year for the mines.
For me? Wait, so yours is also below ground.
Okay, same so we here. Have vastly different experiences, apparently.
Yeah, but when I listened on some random piece of life, it literally was like a piece of life type of segment between two hosts. I ended up really enjoying it. They were just talking about life in Hong Kong, some convenience store drama, and for some reason the randomness and like the piece of it was like cracked to me. It was like this like young guy and a girl like just talking about like, yeah, and you know, like there's been multiple occasions and like the noodles from that shop are really good and stuff like that. And I was like, damn, you know what? This just sounds like serene life.
It's really funny that we all three picked it and all three
had essentially, dear listeners, FM Below Ground for the most random shit. Spin the roulette,
they
see what you find.
All
right. Well, thank you so much for listening to episode 110 for Global Local FM, Hong Kong, Hong Kong. Brought to you by none other than Tom of Huzzah. If you'd like to give us some feedback, find us on Spotify, Apple Music, or whatever you listen to us in the comment section. If you want to give us something privately, you can reach out to me on Instagram at 000RUDIS000. So 000s, Rudis, 000s. You can find
Henry. I'll be
looking
for the cow that the Kowloon Walled City was named after. Or on email at globallylocal@gmail.com.
The cow named Loon.
And Sid?
You will find me in Hong Kong playing table tennis with an old Chinese grandpa.
Ooh.
Honestly, sounds like a vibe. Right, and then we will see you next episode
in Libreville, in Gabon.
In Gabon.
Gabon.
Gabon. So, how are we, okay, the magical cow named Loon appears and drags us.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, the beef of the week.
Fabled cow.
Yeah.